Yes, 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 my friends, you've come to the right place. It is Truth to Power here on your community station, Forward Radio, WFMP, LP, Louisville. We are live in the studio on Friday night at 9 p.m. to beseech you all to support the listening you love. To go to forwardradio.org and donate to the station right now. We're in the last mile of our seventh anniversary pledge drive. And I've got Tom Lambert here in the studio with me as well, your host of Economic Impact. I'm Justin Mogg, your host of Sustainability Now. We really need you to go to forwardradio.org and click that big red button at the top to give to our pledge drive. We got a goal for our seventh anniversary here of raising $7,000. And Tom, if we could get to halfway there by the end of this show, by 10 p.m., we would be happy campers. We are currently at $3,221, which is great.
But that would get a lot of work out of the way.
Yeah, but we've laid a nice solid foundation, but we need to get over the line by the end of the day tomorrow. Our big birthday party is happening tomorrow, and we want to also remind you all to come out for that. It's going to be so much fun. From 5 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, the 13th of April, we'll be out at Logan Street Market. We haven't been there before for our party, but we have circled around Logan Street Market with many other venues in the past in that area, and we are really thrilled to be partnering with them this year. They've got such a great space, and they're all there. Restaurant vendors and bars will be giving a 10% discount for everyone who comes for Forward Radio tomorrow night. So
cool.
Please join us. We're going to have contra dancing.
That is very cool.
We're going to have Charles Booker as our guest speaker.
He's an excellent
speaker. To inspire you. We're going to have we're going to be tapping into our new sister station over in Leeds, England, which I'm really excited about. We have been just making connections with Leeds.
I know some economics faculty.
East Leeds there. Community Radio. Yeah.
They may not be there tomorrow night, but I do know a few folks there. So
we're going to connect with them and see what's going on with community radio in Leeds, England. And there'll be a silent auction as well. So that's another great way to support the station.
That's on the way to Scotland, right?
Yeah, it's up North there Carolina. On the way to
so
Newcastle.
I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I know two people there.
Do you know? Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah.
From conferences. And
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's excellent. Yeah. Well, we shouldn't. With no further ado, we should introduce our guest this evening here on Truth to Power. We are really excited to be making connections this evening with our friends at the Pacifica Affiliate Network. We are an affiliate of Pacifica, and we don't talk about that very much here on the station, and so I bet our listeners have been enjoying a lot of these Pacifica programs, like the flagship, like Democracy Now!, and even Sprouts, which is something I really want to talk about today, which is produced by stations like ours all across the world, I guess, now. And so we've got in this virtual studio with us tonight the woman who makes Sprouts happen and coordinates all of that, Pacifica Affiliate Network Operations Coordinator Stephanie Schubert is here. Welcome, Stephanie.
Justin, hi, Tom. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we are so good.
Just
and so
great.
Glad to have you.
Yes.
Thank you for your great work with Sprouts and the Pacifica Affiliate Network. We're going to talk all about it. But we also have sitting right next to you, the manager of the Pacifica Affiliate Network, Ursula Rudenberg is here. Welcome, Ursula.
Thank you so much for having us.
This
it's
is
such
so
a
fun.
Pleasure.
Yeah, this is really going to be a fun time. You all have been doing this for I don't know how many decades, but I was just doing a little research on the Pacifica Affiliate Network, and I went to the history page. You all have a wonderful history page talking about how the network formed in the early 90s, right? And I was scrolling down and looking at some fabulous photos of history of community radio. And suddenly I saw someone I barely recognized. There's a picture of me and the staff collective at WRT in Madison.
Oh my goodness.
I was news director at the time that photo was snapped, probably back on film, right? This was the 90s.
Wow.
I've never seen this picture until tonight.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
That is amazing.
So there is a much thinner, younger version of me.
You never got a copy of the picture?
I never got a copy of the picture, and I certainly certainly didn't know it was up online. So I'm gonna copy that photo, and now I got a digital record of my time at WRT, where I was for a whole decade. I was a volunteer and part of the staff collective for a little bit. So I've been doing this Pacifica work since then too, but I am really excited to be touching base with you all today about some of the history and some of the current goings on in the Pacifica network. So tell us a little bit about the history and how it looks today, the full story.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to start today or in the past?
Why don't we do it? What does it look like today? And then we can
start from day one if you like.
Okay. Well, I'll do some basics, assuming not everybody listening to this knows about Pacifica that much.
Yeah.
Pacifica is a nonprofit organization, very much like your station, WFMP. Yeah. It's the same thing, a simple nonprofit organization. And it incorporated in 1949.
Wow.
And it was a brand new idea at the time. Public radio did not exist. And it was a new idea that the airwaves should be reserved for public discourse.
Hmm.
Now, there had been some of that going on. Okay, let me go back a little bit farther. Let's go all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Because this is an important concept to who we are today.
Yeah.
The concept of, you know, broadcasting is really an agricultural term, which is when somebody goes out in the field and throws seeds out on the field, right?
Yeah.
That's what broadcasting really was
originally.
Broadcast
the seeds, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really.
And who invented the concept of broadcasting? Really good question. The people because radio was created by the army, basically, by the military.
Oh, sure.
It was, maybe, I don't know if it was created by them, but it was developed.
Most of our major inventions.
The
main reason to develop it was to say, I'm at point A, where are you, point B?
Yeah.
That was what they used it for, right? That's not broadcasting. That's just, you know, that's a walkie-talkie.
Walkie-talkies, yeah.
The but this technology existed, and it was the geeks sitting up in their attics who began to figure out that they could concoct machines to pick these signals up.
Oh.
It was the teenagers.
Yeah.
It was the, you know, the nerds, right?
Yeah.
They started to discover that, hey, we can make machines that'll pick up the electromagnetic wavelengths and we can talk to each other.
Oh, yeah.
And they were the people that invented the concept of broadcasting. They understood that public discourse was what this really was.
Mm.
This was much bigger than, you know, the military talking to each other. So the reason I go back all the way back, and this is true, I'm not making this up. the reason why I go back to all this is because it's very important to understand that it is our inheritance as grassroots people. And it is our entitlement to say the airways belong to the people.
Yeah.
Because the people
That's right.
figured out what broadcasting was. And so the as radio developed, you know, in the early 20th century, it was a lot of colleges started to pop up. One of our affiliates, WESU in Connecticut, they were one of the first stations. Actually, the station here in Ames, Iowa, where we are, WOI, was one of the first stations in the country. And they were owned by colleges. And they were using them for educational purposes. But it's, you know, kind of like the internet started in a way. And then, of course, it didn't take long before people began to realize that this could be monetized.
Yeah.
True.
Right. It's the American way, right?
Right. That's what we do.
And so all of a sudden,
usually these government has to clear the pathway, and then you got private enterprise. Yeah.
Tom is an economics professor, walked in here saying, "I don't know if I'm going to have much to say about radio tonight." And I was like, "Tom, I know you are."
So it's economics. It's capitalism.
Yeah.
And
basically,
And so the case had to be made that these college stations were not really that important. That what was important was, you know, entertainment that could be sold for advertising, and we were on our way. And very quickly, the college stations began to be sidelined and were really on the verge of extinction.
Yeah.
And this was in the 1930s. We're up in the 1930s now. And that's at the end of the 1930s is where a bunch of folks in California sitting around in a detention camp because they were conscientious objectors during World War II. They had a book club in the detention center.
Oh, wow.
I know. And they were discussing how to promote peace and decided that a radio station was the way to go. And they, in a sense, invented the kind of official concept of public radio, that radio should be reserved to some extent for public discourse, and it shouldn't all be taken over by commercial interests. And that was the beginning of Pacifica Radio. They decided on Berkeley for various reasons and could not find a frequency because it was all AM in those days, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was all AM radio.
Right.
No frequencies left in AM. So they went to the less preferable, uninteresting FM band.
The uninteresting band, yeah.
Which is now dominant.
Yeah.
That nobody used.
Yeah.
So they had to literally go around Berkeley and give people radios that would pick up FM,
right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, Tom, this relates to economics too, because I think digital natives, people who grew up with the internet, may not get this concept. There is a limited bandwidth in radio. It is a limited resource, right? So there
it's
is
a limited resource.
There is demand and supply, right? And there's only so much of it to go around and to share. And we are now in a situation where I don't know how many companies control nationally the bandwidth. It's a handful of mega
very
communications
few.
Companies, right?
They bid up the price of the licenses, et cetera.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The price kind of priced out the little guys like us, right? And so this is why I think your point, Ursula, was so important, that it really is our duty as citizens to sort of take back these airwaves, but also shepherd them. And that means producing good content, which gets right back to what community radio does. It involves the citizenry in making the content and it allows the citizenry to be the voices that are broadcast rather than, I don't know, some ivory tower or whatever. It can really be a place for regular people to have access to this medium. And that's why it's worth supporting. And let me remind you, we are live here in the studio tonight during our pledge drive at the end of it to encourage you to do exactly what we're talking about. Support the station you love. Forward Radio needs your dollars to stay on the air. And we have a goal of raising $7,000 by our party tomorrow. We're at $3,200. And we want to thank you live on air. If you
give now,
we can thank you live on air. We will thank a few of the people who've given recently, too, before I turn it back to Ursula for more of this really exciting history about Pacifica. Amy Smalley has given a very generous donation to the station. I love to see this. I love people who volunteer every week. Amy Smalley produces Perks of Being a Book Lover, does a fantastic program here on the station, and she's also giving financially. That's how much she appreciates what Forward Radio does for our community and the opportunity to share her love of books with you all. If you love what Amy Smalley does on Perks of Being a Book Lover, go to forwardradio.org right now and pitch into our pledge drive, match her donation. Nancy Peterson, thank you also for your contribution. Greg Gapsis has donated to the station pretty much every pledge drive we've had. Thank you for your generous contribution.
Thank you.
Patty Payette donated, well, another host of Critical Thinking for Everyone.
Yes.
She did a live program with her co-host Brian Barnes last night on the station and also chipped in to keep us on the air. They also thanked live Donnie Green from Arthur Street Hotel, which is a new nonprofit serving the houseless community down on Arthur Street near U of L. And Donnie has made a generous contribution to the station as well. We have a wonderful, very generous anonymous gift. That's another thing you could give anonymously if you don't want us to read your name on the air. That's fine. You can also give in memory of or in honor of someone when you go to forwardradio.org. And just a few more. Susan Ganchiff and Phyllis Hoppy, thank you all so, so much.
Thank you.
Join these 29 donors. Help us get to $3,500, halfway there. If we can do that by the end of the show tonight, we would be so, so thrilled.
We really appreciate your generosity,
absolutely,
too.
And we stretch every dollar. It's all volunteer. We have no paid
right.
staff. We're literally
paying
the bills to keep the station going. And we are in some very modest digs here in the Hayburn building. We don't have a giant radio station. This is really all about funneling the funds into making great radio. And so Pacifica has been doing that since, as we were hearing, since back in the 30s. How on earth did they fund this back then, Ursula?
Well, you know, funny you should ask, you know. This brings us full circle. So I just want to say thank you to everybody who has donated. It's so important. It's so, so important. And, you know, we appreciate you. And I'm hoping that in telling some of this history, that I can impart a little bit what a great tradition you are supporting WFMP. It is part of a grand tradition of free speech.
Yeah.
And it is our entitlement as citizens of the United States. We're very lucky. Mm. We have a government that, you know, protects our right to the airwaves.
Yeah.
And so we are lucky and we need to use it so we don't lose it, right?
Right.
And the community access is important because ever since the 90s with the deregulation of telecommunications, these mergers accelerated.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
96, whenever Clinton signed the bill or
right.
whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's often set up as this sort of adversarial relationship with the FCC because they tell us we can't say this, that, or the other thing. But honestly, if we didn't have the government in there regulating, the airwaves would be chaos because of the interference. And whoever had the most power would control all the airwaves. So
exactly.
We have to be grateful for some federal regulations of this. And very recently, the FCC opened up another opportunity for low-power FM stations to apply. That's how we got our license and went on air in 2017.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the FCC changes because these are political appointments, right?
Yeah.
But it should be said that the FCC has very often gone through long periods of times where they've been very supportive of community radio. Mm. There's other people they don't like, but in the bigger scope of things, the FCC has been kindly towards community radio and has often made decisions, you know, supporting what we're doing. So it's not all, you know, bad guys. It's there's an interesting history. But getting back to Pacifica did when it started out, this is important because it brings us right up to this exact moment. Pacifica had to make a decision about how to fund itself. Mm. And so they invented the concept of listener-sponsored radio, which is exactly what we're doing right now, right?
Wow.
So a lot of the things that, you know, you see now on public radio, on NPR stations, that was all invented by Pacifica because public radio wasn't even a glimmer in anybody's eye yet in 1949. So it was decided that listener sponsorship was a thing. And Pacifica began to ask its listeners for money, and it was not easy to start an organization like that. I think that it looks easier in retrospect, but that's what they did. They invented listener sponsorship. They also invented a lot of things that you see today that public radio does, and community radio does. So Pacifica really was the inventor of community radio in the United States. Now, it should be said that great ideas often emerge in different places in the world, right?
Yeah.
Simultaneously with the invention of Pacific community radio in the United States, it was invented in Bolivia by a bunch of miners who were on strike.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Yeah.
So it can't be said that we were the global inventors of community radio. It happened twice, pretty much simultaneously.
Mm. But unlike NPR, you've never gotten any type of or tax subsidy from the government, although NPR and PBS don't get a whole lot of money. And in fact, I remember in the 90s, they were saying, well, let's get rid of this money going to public television entirely.
Yeah.
But it's never happened. Right. But Pacifica never has. It's just strictly donations, correct?
No, that's not true. Pacifica received money from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting.
Oh, did it? Okay.
It has not for the last 15 years.
I see.
But it did for many years. And many community radio stations. So public radio was invented in the 70s. And with it, the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, which is the funnel for tax money, and which supports the public airway, so to speak. And for many, many years, a lot of community radio stations did get maybe 10% of their budget from Corporation of Public. Pacifica did too. It's become more and more difficult.
Right.
And Pacifica has not had any support for at least 10, 15 years now, which has been very difficult for the, but it's really public funds that we, I personally feel we're entitled to. So,
yeah.
So it's been a difficult that the CPB has made it more and more difficult for grassroots radio to have access to that money. But that's a whole other, you know, can of worms that we could go down that rabbit hole for quite a while.
Yeah, Congress has wanted to commercialize radio, television 100%. Let's just get rid of all this other stuff.
Right.
So, you know, more game shows, more detective shows instead of something like Nature or Nova or what
on
PBS.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And in the 80s and 90s, public radio was really developed into a model which really followed commercial radio in terms of the, you know, the workings in the stations and the kind of formats that they were using. And I remember that. I'm old enough to remember when that happened.
Mm.
It suddenly lost its grassroots sound, you know, within a few years. And that was a conscious choice on the part of the CPB and various. I mean, that's a huge story. But yes, public radio started out sounding quite grassroots as well, and it made the transition to a more commercial format. Pacifica did not, and resisted violent, you know, really resisted and paid a huge price for that.
Mm.
And there was a struggle over that, and that's how I got into Pacifica. But that's another story. But going back again, when Pacifica was the kind of created this concept of community radio, it was downright revolutionary. It kind of made everybody's head explode.
Yeah.
You know, it was like the internet, you know, it was like, what is that? You know,
and how do we use it?
and so
internet also many all over military the country, roots too.
Yeah. The internet,
People from all over the country descended on the station in Berkeley, KPFA, which was Pacifica. And just everybody wanted to be there because it was like, wow, you know, what is this? This is amazing. And it was very, very exciting. And actually, it just got too small.
Yeah.
You know, there were just too many people competing for too little space. And people started to break out, and you had people starting to head out and using the model of community radio. They were saying, well, let's use the model of KPFA and do it somewhere else.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you've got Lorenzo Milam, who was kind of considered the Johnny Appleseed of community radio. He wrote a book called Sex and Broadcasting, which became kind of a weird sort of frightening Bible. Kind of a frightening book, but you know, and he was sufficiently kind of crazy himself to take this on. But they went around the country and started to take he was from KPFA, and his partner was a very, very young teenage engineer named Jeremy Landsman, who is still alive. And they went around and started building stations like KPFA in other parts of the country. That was the beginning that leads right to you. That was the beginning of the affiliate program.
Love it.
Because they began to duplicate Pacifica and other places. But, you know, it was a small world, right? And even though we didn't have the internet, people still knew how to contact each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a growing family. Mm-hmm. And that growing family became the beginning of what today is the affiliate network.
Wow.
Now, one more quick thing. Pacifica itself had, it started out, this is a nonprofit organization with one radio station in Berkeley. But then some folks got together in Los Angeles and bought a radio frequency and gave it to Pacifica. And then there was one, a group of people in Houston.
Oh.
They did the same thing. And then there was a group of people. And then there was a man in New York who owned a commercial frequency, 99.5, and he gave it to Pacifica.
Wow.
And in fact, when he called them up and told them they hung up on him because they thought it was a crank call.
They didn't take him seriously.
That's a great story.
No. And then a group of people in Washington, D.C. also put together a frequency and gave it to Pacifica. So today, Pacifica owns 5 radio stations in major metropolitan areas. And then it owns an archive. It archived all of this incredible content that they recorded over the years since 1949. They are the definitive archivers of the civil rights movement. They are the people that went down there.
And led to the From the Vault program, right? Which is you hear on this station 5 days a week. So if you've been loving some of those archives that you hear there, that's where it all originated.
Yeah, and really not so fun fact. You remember the murder in Mississippi, Cheney.
The 3 workers.
Yeah, the 3 workers. I can't remember. One of them was black and 2 of them were white. One of those was the son of the president of Pacifica at the time.
Oh, wow.
And it was because of his involvement in the civil rights movement that Pacifica got called in front of the House of Un-American Activities, because the folks down in Mississippi, they went to Congress and said, these are a bunch of communists. And Pacifica got called in front of the House of Un-American Activities. And there's a very famous recording of the guy that they put on the stand. And the first thing he says is, are you insane? he wasn't having it.
Legitimate question.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just the kind of fantastic history that really, you know, we stand on today.
We're speaking today here on Truth to Power with our 2 friends from the Pacifica Affiliate Network. You're hearing the manager of the network, Ursula Rudenberg, and we're going to hear a little more in a minute from Stephanie Schubert, their operations coordinator, joining us from Ames, Iowa today in the virtual studio. And Tom Lambert is with me, Justin Mogg, here in studio in Louisville, encouraging you to support community radio everywhere. But start here at home. Start with Forward Radio. You can chip in now at forwardradio.org. Help us reach our goal of $7,000 by our birthday party tomorrow.
$7,000 for 7 years.
For 7 years of broadcasting. And if you do so now, you can pick up some great thank you gifts that are only available during our pledge drive. Starting at a $20 donation, you can get one of our bumper stickers at $30, an enamel pin. Our t-shirts, both long sleeve and short sleeve, are available at the $50 donation level, or you can get a WFMP hoodie for a $75 donation. All of this is available for you if you go to forwardradio.org and click the big red button to donate to our pledge drive tonight. Stephanie, you've been pretty quiet over there, but I want to ask you about the wonderful program Sprouts, because it is such a unique thing on our radio dial. 3 times a week, Mondays at 7:30 a.m., Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m., and Saturdays at 5:30 p.m., folks will be hearing voices from around the world, right?
Yep, that's right. Thank you for saying that. That's so nice to hear about Sprouts. I love it.
Yeah.
I can give you a little background,
please,
too.
Please, when did it all start?
We're doing history today.
Yeah.
Sprouts, the name, is coined for grassroots radio. So it really is the best of community radio. It's a show that features different programming from the network that's all around the country and the world.
Yeah.
The show goes back to about 2002. This is an important time for Pacifica because the relationship between the the big flagship stations of the network and the affiliates is kind of a hierarchy relationship. And around this time, the affiliates are really happy to get programming from the big flagship stations, but they also want to contribute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is about when Ursula started working with them. Did I say it was 2002? It was 2002.
Yeah.
And she wanted to find out what they want to do. So it turns out they want to contribute and they want to share what's going on in their communities.
Yeah.
So they can change the relationship from just top down to partnership.
Love it.
And so this show called Sprouts was born out of this need. And each week, a different station would host the show and invite other stations to add segments, all revolving around a theme.
Oh.
The first show was hosted by KGNU in Denver, with a focus on the beginning of the Iraq War.
Aha, yeah.
Oh, Boulder. Okay, got it. So this approach went on for quite a few years, and over time, the show was gaining in popularity, but it was struggling to find stations to produce it.
Mm-hmm.
So Ursula had a moment where she had to decide if it was something she wanted to take on. And she did. And
yeah.
That was about 2005. So since then, our home office at Pacifica Network is in charge of keeping the show going and finding stations and producers who would like to promote their stories, their news, and their art. And now I have the privilege of scouting out possible contributors like yourself.
Yeah. I have had the honor of being showcased nationally on Sprouts several times. And that's really great because, of course, I have friends all over the country. And to tell them that, hey, I might be on your local radio station this week is really fun.
It is really fun. And it's cliche, but I find stories this way that I don't hear anywhere else.
Mm.
I could give a couple examples. One is there's an online brand called Eighth Generation that is a collective of Native American artists that sell their art on their own terms.
Wow.
There's thinking techniques you can use in museums to help you engage better with life and art.
Wow.
There's people teaching and learning yoga in San Quentin Prison in San Francisco. And of course, one of my favorites is always the Martin Luther King speeches that we have from the archive. It's the more rarer, it's funny to say on the radio, rarer speeches that he does that, you know, beyond the I Have a Dream, when he starts talking about economics and labor unions and things that are more edgy, right? That we all can relate to. And there's another one about a renegade lunch lady who's revolutionizing nutrition in schools. And then reporting from Ukraine, from people that live there, doctors, soldiers, academics that really know what's going on. So I appreciate it. I always appreciate hearing from people around the network.
Yeah. How big is the network these days?
That was my question.
Yeah.
It's about 200 radio stations.
Okay.
Most of them are in the United States. There are some in Canada. There's some in Europe. And we need to rope in your sister station there.
That's right. I don't think they know about Pacifica.
Yeah. But it's about 200 stations. It fluctuates. It grows. But it's around 200. And they are internet stations. They are community radio stations. They're college stations. There are NPR stations in the network.
Wow.
So it's a big variety of different types. There's native stations. There's a station in New York that belongs to a pagan temple.
Wow. Fun.
That's interesting.
By transsexuals.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a big variety.
Yeah.
We're a very, very diverse and colorful network, just like the human race.
I love it. Yeah.
But I want to tell you, I really, really enjoy my job very much. And I love talking about it.
I bet.
And because I just think that we are some of the best people in America.
We are the best people.
And we'll agree.
And actually the world, You know, and can I do a pitch for you for a minute here?
Love it.
Okay, because I'm dying to do this. I'm dying to pitch for WFMP because I really want those of you who are listening to this. I really want you to send these people money.
Yes, please.
I'm serious. I feel this very passionately. They're the best people in the world. I was very fortunate in, I don't even remember what year it was, but I was very fortunate to be able, there used to be, and there, again, there is an international community radio association called AMARC. And it kind of died down for a while, but now they're reviving it. And they would have international conferences every 4 years or something like that. So I was very fortunate. I was able to go to the one in Argentina that they held, I think it was 2007, but I don't remember now. But anyway, it was an incredible experience for me because I went down there. Two things happened that really, really never left me. One thing was I got there early. And so I was hanging out with the people in my hotel, having dinner. One of them was Palestinian and one of them was Egyptian. Now, these are two people that I had no reason to really feel culturally connected to. Mm. You know, I mean, I'm against it, but I just, you know, we're from completely different worlds, right? And we sat down and we immediately felt like we were the same thing. And we immediately had the same values. We understood each other. We spoke the same language mentally. And I was sitting there thinking, why was it this easy to understand each other? And I realized it's because community radio is about a basic human need that we rarely articulate to ourselves. But the need to communicate is as important to us as eating and drinking and everything else. We need to communicate as animals. And people in community radio are people who understand that. And these guys, they knew the same thing I knew. We all knew the same thing, you know, and it's just amazing. So that was one thing I learned while I was down there. The other thing is a little bit more intense because, you know, the people that I was with that night having dinner are probably, both of them are probably either in jail or dead.
Wow.
Because what they were doing was putting, you know, one of them, you know, the one from Egypt, he was saying, oh, we want free media, we want democracy. And I was thinking to myself, you know, what are you talking about? You're from Egypt. You know, before I knew it, a few months later, we had the Arab Spring, right? And I knew who they were throwing in jail because it was that guy.
It was
that guy, you know?
Mm, wow.
And what I learned again and again from these folks all over the world was that they are putting their lives on the line for what we have to pay nothing for other than our, you know, our sweat and blood, which is, I mean, we do sweat a lot. We put a lot of energy into it, but nobody is threatening our life for this.
Yeah.
We have the First Amendment.
Yeah.
We are so lucky. And so what I'm saying is what I want those of you that are listening to WFMP to hear is that other people around the world have to die for what you're getting right now.
Unfortunately, so yes, but yeah.
We need to support this because there is nothing is guaranteed. You know, there is no, you know, kind of law of nature that says that we are allowed to have free media. We have that because right now in this country, we still have a constitution that protects it, and we still have people who are willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
And so, exactly. And that is you, dear listener.
Yeah, yeah.
That is you. So I'm just saying you have something in Louisville with this radio station that other people give their lives for and still don't have. They're still struggling to have it.
And if you're interested, you can not only be a listener, you can also be a participant.
Yeah.
Pitch your own show.
Yeah.
We're interested in
huge privilege.
Yeah. Having folks come and tell us what they're interested in, you know, do some not really audition tapes, but promo. Whatever.
Pilots.
I'm sorry. Yeah, right. That's the word. Pilot shows, and if it's good enough, they'll be aired. Yeah.
And if I could add about the Springs the Sprouts show, and again, because the way Sprouts started out in the beginning was to get voices in the network heard from the affiliates as well as Pacifica, but it's grown, and it's anyone now. If you have a production you want heard, even if you aren't an affiliate, it's an open door policy. That is the tradition of community radio. You can take a show exactly. If you are not an affiliate. You can be on the show if you are not an affiliate. And some producers use Sprouts as a way to get grants because Sprouts is heard by a lot of people, about 100 stations per week. So that open door is still open.
And people can find out how to do that at pacificanetwork.org, right?
Yes, they can. Yes.
Yeah, they can.
Great.
Yeah. And I gotta say, in my little moment here, I'm of Swiss origin. My mom was Swiss, and I lived in Zurich a lot of time when I was a teenager. I love Zurich. So Sprouts is on the air once a week in Zurich.
Yeah,
my name is said once a week.
That is great.
Zurich, which is awesome.
That is so cool.
But the bottom line is, please support this community radio station. We are very serious. This is so. When I went to Argentina, it was like taking a cold shower. I realized that because we have had so much privilege for so long.
Yeah.
And I know it doesn't sometimes feel like it in the United States, but we are so privileged. We're not being bombed by anybody. We can go on the air and we can protect our right to say what we want to say. It's huge because communication is a need and we have it. So support it. Support these guys. What's the phone number or how do you support you guys?
Yeah, we don't have a phone number, but you can call. You can go to forwardradio.org right now and chip in whatever you can. There's a big link at the top. You know, some people, Tom, prefer to go old school with their donations. Maybe they don't trust the internet or maybe they don't have a credit card. So we always have a tradition here on our live pledge drive shows of opening the mailbox and live opening some of our wonderful contributors who like to send us checks.
That still works.
In the mail. That works too. We have here a very generous contribution from Mary Gatton. Thank you so much, Mary, for your very generous donation to this station. Thank you for your commitment to put a stamp on it and lick that seal and send us your love in the mail. Never too late to do that. Oh, and here is another one. Thank you so much, Frank Schwartz and Linda Lesser, for your very generous support for the station.
Thank you, Frank and Linda.
Yeah, Frank and Linda, you're the best. Thank you, Mary. That gets us a little closer to our goal of 3,500 by the end of the hour. We would still love someone to go online, though, at forwardradio.org and become our 30th donor online. Pick up some of those great thank you gifts, and then we can thank you live on the air right now or in person at our birthday party tomorrow at Logan Street Market from 5 to 8 p.m. You'll want to join us there. It is going to be a great time. It is free. We'll take donations at the door if you want, but there is going to be a lot of fun dancing. Charles Booker will be speaking.
Great.
We're going
speaker.
To connect with East Leeds Community Radio, our new friends at our sister city there in England, and we will have dancing and cake and discounts at all the wonderful vendors at Logan Street Market. So please do come on out 5 to 8 tomorrow, Saturday, April 13th. We are live here on Forward Radio on Friday evening. My name is Justin Mogg. Tom Lambert from Economic Impact is in the studio with us, and virtually we're connecting with Ames, Iowa, and our friends from the Pacifica Affiliate Network. We've talked a lot about how stations are sharing content with Sprouts, but how else do they share content, right? There are wonderful ways that people can have their voices heard on other stations in the network, right?
Okay, yeah. Well, that's a great – thank you for asking. That's a great question. I love that question. So, okay. Well, right around the time when I started my job, this was the theme that was running through a lot of conversations, a lot of feedback we were getting from – our affiliates at that time, which was that they had matured to the point that they felt they wanted to distribute their content and not just receive content from us. They wanted a horizontal network, not a vertical, right? Okay, so just going back a little bit, in the 80s, Pacifica acquired space on the NPR satellite so that it could distribute content nationally. Up until that point, I kid you not, the way distribution happened was that people would either send each other, you know, tape cassettes,
yeah,
or tape reels, or they would. KPFA was reporting the news from Washington D.C. every night on the telephone.
Oh wow! Yeah, sure.
And that's how they were doing it. Yeah. You know, so in the 80s, NPR got a satellite, and Pacifica rented space on it, and then they eventually rented their own satellite called the KU satellite in the 90s. And this kind of coincided, if my memory serves me right, it was around also the time that Democracy Now! Was created and Pacifica National News was created. And there was a pretty big push on part. Pacifica was giving out satellite dishes to its affiliates so that they could take these national programming.
Wow.
And so the satellite was the way to go, right? So we had this satellite that we were renting, and then affiliates would come to us periodically and say, can we have time on the satellite? Because we have something we would like to, you know, distribute, right?
Yeah.
But they kind of had to come and beg, and, you know, time and space was limited. And so one of the requests when I began working at Pacifica was that the affiliates be given more space to get their content out. Now, the problem was that satellites are related to time, so there was limited time. However, I was at a conference in San Francisco, and outside there was an anti-war demonstration going on because it was, I think, the invasion of Iraq was happening. And inside we were sitting at a bar, and I was with Norm Stockwell from WORT.
Oh, yeah, Norm, who's now at the Progressive magazine, actually.
Yes, exactly. But at the time he was the operations manager for WORT in Madison. WORT in Madison. He sits down. We're all a little bit drunk. He sits down. He takes out a little paper napkin, and he says, this is what you're going to do. And he laid out to me essentially what today is what we know as the cloud. Of course, at that time, I had no clue what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And
this was 2002,
I think.
2003 would have been invasion of Iraq.
When was the invasion of Iraq? 2003?
March 2003.
Yeah, it was 2003 then. So he writes this down, and I'm just like, what is this? You know, I mean, my head is exploding again. But I take my little napkin, and he gives it to me. He says, this is what you need to do. And so I take my little napkin home back to Brooklyn, where I was living at the time. And the person I was living with was the webmaster for Pacifica. And he looks at it, and he was younger than me, so he kind of got it right away. And he looked at it and he said, oh my God, that's it. You know?
Wow.
And so he said, we're going to do this. And he started, I don't know if you've ever heard of Sean Ewalt, but Sean Ewalt started Radio for All, which is a website, which was really the first website in the country that distributed radio content on the web. And, you know, and at that time, nobody understood, you know, the cloud didn't exist. People didn't understand how you could use a server to do that, right? It just was a completely foreign concept. But Sean figured it out, so he created this website, Radio for All, which still exists. And nobody could figure out what he was doing. But this was Pete Caracas, who was the webmaster for Pacifica. He hired Sean to use that software and to convert it into what we call AudioPort today, AudioPort.org, which turned into our distribution system. And so we built this website and sent out a letter, because in those days we didn't have email, right?
Yeah.
We sent out a letter to everybody and said, okay, now you can distribute your programs. And of course, everybody threw the letter away because they thought, what are they trying to sell us? And there was deafening silence, you know. And we kind of went around and begged one or two people. I remember we tried David Barsamian. No, it was, who was it? Somebody agreed to do it. Anyway, we had to really beg, but eventually a few people used it. And today it's kind of a headache because we get about three new shows a week now that want to themselves to the website. So it's become a massive, massive collection. I don't even know how many radio programs are in there. There has to be hundreds, if not thousands.
Wow.
And the idea was that people in the network could self-upload shows. And so Our radio affiliates can give their producers accounts where they can distribute their shows. And then, of course, it attracted independent producers who also now distribute through the website. And since, you know, especially since the pandemic, where there was a lot of people at home and the advent of podcasting really becoming a thing.
Yeah.
Now you have a lot of other people generating content, and they're coming to us as well with content. And so it's a website that just grows exponentially always.
Yeah.
And it has just a massive and very diverse menu of programs that you can choose from that the Pacifica affiliates, you don't have to be an affiliate to distribute through it, but in order to download the content, you have to be an affiliate. And then it also has a stream so that when we do live programming, elections coming
up. Election night,
we'll be able to, it also has a live stream on it. So that's now our distribution system, and it really, really mushroomed.
And this is how our listeners get to hear some of the great national programming, everything from Peace Talks Radio and This Way Out to Economic Update, which may have been the program that inspired you, Tom, right?
Yes, yes. And I've had Richard Wolff on my show.
That's right, that's right.
And he's invited back as soon as his new book comes out.
Excellent,
So he has a third installment of... it's a three-part book series, but I told Richard, I said, you know, you've got to come on the show. He asked me to write a little blurb helping to promote the book. I said, sure, you know, maybe you want a more famous person than me.
But, well, you're radio famous.
Well,
now.
I think he just sent this out mass email to folks he knew. So maybe I'll be there, maybe I won't. Yeah. And this book is, you know, on the back cover saying what a great, or saying great things about him, I guess I should say, because the book's not out, but, or some promotional piece. But I hope to have him on.
That's so great.
Again, and years ago when I was in Northern Kentucky, he appeared and he was wonderful.
And so generous with his time. I think that's a theme in Pacifica. Like,
exactly.
We're all always reaching out a hand to help each other out. And we see that at the Grassroots Radio Conference, which many people from Forward Radio had the pleasure of attending last year in Charlestown, West Virginia. And it's such a great community, which that's why I think you're right on when you say we're the best people in the world, just because we're all so giving and eager to help each other.
I got a call the other day from somebody that wanted to distribute an audio port, and she asked me, so what do I get paid? and I said, well, I'm sorry, but we don't pay you to do this. We don't charge
you. Payment
is
self-satisfaction.
But she's like, so all these people, they don't get paid. And I said, so she said, so why do you do this?
It's what we in academia called intrinsic motivation.
Yes, yes.
Yes, you're not motivated by the grade, but because you truly
democracy?
Want to learn to do something. Yeah.
Democracy, integrity,
exactly.
You know, community.
Yep.
I mean, we're, you
you're
know,
right.
So this is like, you know, support this. Support
yes.
this, please. This is so precious, you know. There's no alternative motive here. This is to be human, to be alive, to love, you know, being human together on this planet.
Yeah.
That's what this is. There's nothing else going on here.
Yeah. You have psychic income, like we
exactly.
like to say in economics, yeah.
Exactly. Well, and I think it's worth highlighting, again, trying to reach people who are digital natives and don't understand the pre-internet world and where many of us are coming from, right? You know, today anybody can start a podcast anytime, and that's great, and you should. But there's something so different about community radio, about the Pacifica Network, where you get exposed to all kinds of cool people that you might not find and perspectives you wouldn't understand.
Right.
And it really is about building community rather than just sending your own voice out over the internet. And I love scanning a broadcast dial when I get to a new town or something like that to really try and understand what local perspectives are. But we're losing a lot of that with the consolidation of media. And so,
you know, that in some ways community radio served what before the internet, what the internet does now, it was really the only free exchange of information. But there was one big difference. There's no algorithms in community radio. You know, you're not in an echo chamber, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's no robot telling you what you're going to hear next,
right? And you're not, and you're not just grouping yourself together with the same people. You know, you're hearing every, you know, you're hearing real public discourse.
Yeah.
Support that.
Yes.
How do they support it?
They can go to forwardradio.org right now. Click that big red button at the top and you'll be sent over to our Give Lively donating page where you can pick up on some great thank you gifts only through tomorrow. The pledge drive is ending on Saturday, April 13th, culminating in our big birthday party at 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Logan Street Market. You won't want to miss it. Tom, you going to be there?
Yes,
I'll be there. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. I'll be broadcasting live again.
I wish I could be there.
Yeah, yeah.
you could attend.
I think I heard cake.
We can't send you cake through our live stream, but you can always tune in at forwardradio.org.
Well, you send an image of a cake.
Yes, exactly. Well, Ursula Rudenberg and Stephanie Schubert, thank you so much for the work you do every day. I know, like you said, we sweat a lot, but it feels so worth it. But thank you for sustaining the Pacifica Affiliate Network over all these years. And Stephanie, thank you for producing such a great program, Sprouts. We really love broadcasting it here on the station and contributing to it. So thank you for taking the time this evening to join us from Ames, Iowa.
Thank
you so much.
It's
been such a pleasure.
Thank you for having us. And for you who's listening to this on the radio, thank you for listening to us.
Yeah.
And please support your community radio station. Support WFMT. Please. Thank you for having us, guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us. And community radio is a place you can be yourself and be commercial free. And WFMP is one of those. Support WFMP.
Thank you.
Thank you all. I hope to see you at a grassroots radio conference down the road.
That would be great.
All right. New Orleans.
All right. Excellent. Be well.
Take care.
And Tom, we've just got another minute to say, please go to forwardradio.org, chip in what you can to support us, and be our 30th donor.
If we can make $7,000,
that would be
fantastic. We need the money, and I think folks feel good when they donate to a cause like this, because as we were saying, community radio, I've had a lot of local folks on the show.
Absolutely.
As well. Small business, nonprofit as well as for-profit, community organizations, et cetera. So it does have an impact.
Yes, yes, indeed. You can stretch your dollar and contribute to the listening that you love and the ideas and concepts and community that was developed here on Forward Radio only happens because of you all making it happen. So thank you for considering giving at forwardradio.org. We look forward to seeing you at our birthday party tomorrow.
Please come.
And with no further ado, we're going to sign off for the evening and send you back to our regularly scheduled programming. We've got Democracy Now! Coming up from the Pacifica Affiliate Network at 10 o'clock this evening.
Excellent show.
So stay tuned for that here on 106.5 FM and forwardradio.org. And we look forward to seeing you at our birthday party tomorrow.
Thanks for listening.